Well, thank you, Kenzie. Thank you, Demo, for leading us so well. And the theme of joy is the one that we want to stay tuned on this morning in our chapel service. I just want to say how grateful I am to the Lord for bringing us to this point in the semester. You know, it's when we started this semester journey in September, remember, moving in on Labor Day, there was so many unknowns. And we prayed that, Lord, you would let us make it to Christmas. And it looks like we're going to make it to Christmas, right? God is helping us to do that. And you've been a huge part of that. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for cooperation. I know that the whole strictures around COVID protocols, all that is wearying and wearing. And yet you've sought to make a great semester, even in a tough time. So thank you for that. And mostly, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. So. You know, last week I was on a Zoom call with some leaders of ministries from across Canada. And before we got into the meeting part of the Zoom call, we had a personal update part where everyone had a couple of minutes to just say, how are you doing? And there was a consistent theme that ran through the personal updates that came across on that Zoom call. You know what the theme was? I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm drained. I'm exhausted. I mean, these were folks that are carrying heavy loads in different ministries, and they were weary from long hours of work. They were drained from dealing with COVID. In fact, one of them said this. They said, I feel like I'm crawling to Christmas. Crawling to Christmas. That phrase struck me. Crawling to Christmas. Probably some of you feel that way today as we are pushing towards the end of the semester, and you're thinking, Lord, just let me make it. I'm crawling to Christmas. But you know, deep in our hearts, we know that's not what Christmas is supposed to be like. It's not supposed to be something we crawl to. It's something we rejoice in. It's something we find great joy in. And we know that because the announcement of the first Christmas was all about joy. Remember how the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Good news, great joy. That was the first Christmas. In fact, the Greek word translated great in great joy, the Greek word is one you probably are familiar with, even if you've never taken Greek classes here. The Greek word is the word mega. So they were supposed to have mega joy on that first Christmas morning. Doesn't that sound inviting to you? Mega joy at Christmas? I mean, aren't you ready for that? Seems like often we're dealing with meager joy, but we'd love it to go up to mega joy. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about how to get there, at least how the first Christmas people got there from meager joy to mega joy. This morning, I want to take you to a passage that is meant to rekindle joy. In fact, I've been praying that God would rekindle joy in my heart, in our hearts, in the hearts of many who are weary and tired and crawling towards Christmas. Today, I want to take you to a passage that's meant to move us from meager joy to mega joy, because it reminds us of the reason for our great joy at Christmas. And that passage that I'm referencing is one you know well. It's in Luke chapter 2. So would you join me there, please, Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you about great joy at Christmas. And my hope and my prayer for all of you and for myself, for all of us, is that God would allow, even in the midst of these long and dreary nights of COVID and all that's going on around our world, that we, like those first Christmas participants, would find great joy, mega joy. Let me pray for us, and then we'll look at our passage. Father, this morning, I'm so thankful for these men and women who you have called and you have sent and you have protected during this semester at Heritage. I do pray you would give them endurance to finish well, not just to crawl to Christmas, but to sense your empowerment to finish this semester well with joy in their hearts. Today, would you help us to find that joy in Christ this Christmas? And I pray in his name, amen. So Luke 2 is the story you know well. And in verse 8, picks it up with the shepherds. And it's part of the story that we love to tell each Christmas. Look at verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. It says, in the same region, there were some shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. So here you've got the scene, right? These are shepherds. They're out working the night shift. They're on the hills surrounding Bethlehem. And they are surprised. They're in for the surprise of their life. In fact, the first takeaway that I come from our passage that relates to joy that I want to bring to you is this. The first takeaway comes from the shepherds. I'd put it this way. The great joy of Christmas came as a big surprise. Right? Just let that sink in. The great joy of Christmas, we know it's filled with great joy. But when it first came, it was a big surprise. It was a mega surprise. These shepherds are out on the hillside keeping watch of their flocks by night. They're pulling the night shift. They're watching their sheep. This is just another day at the office or another night at the office for them. They've probably been doing this for years. In fact, shepherds had been on those same fields for centuries. 1,000 years before this time, King David, as a young boy, had been on these same hillsides watching his father's sheep. So shepherds been on these hills. There had been days, nights. It had gone on. There was no reason for these shepherds on this night to anticipate anything unusual would happen until it happened. And it was a big surprise, right? You see that in verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So here you've got shepherds. They're just out doing their job. It's just another night. And suddenly, it's not just another night. The great joy of Christmas that was announced to them first came as a big surprise. So let me ask you, have you ever been surprised in a joyful way at Christmas? Has the joy of Christmas ever kind of just snuck up on you and hit you with full force again? Let me tell you a story that it sticks in my memory. I was told this as a young boy. My parents loved this story, perhaps because they could relate to parts of it. The story was first published back, 70 years ago. So it's an older story, and it was written by a woman who was married to a pastor. And they served the Lord in a rural parish. So they were out kind of far away from the big city lights. They were serving the Lord, and it was not easy. The church was smaller and paid them when they could, but sometimes money was very tight for this couple and their young family. In fact, as it came to Christmas on this particular year that the woman writes about, there was not even any money for gifts for the children. In fact, there was not even enough money for the necessities of life. They were hurting at this Christmas. And yet, the young kids, they still had high hopes for Christmas. The two boys, they wanted skates. They wanted ice skates. And the little girl, Ruth, she wanted a new wax doll. And she insisted on praying for it every night at dinner, which made it harder for mom and dad. Well, on Christmas Eve, the husband, James, was called out to visit a parishioner who was sick. And so he made the long trek out to see this man. He came home that night. It was later when he got home. He was cold, he was hungry, he was tired. When he got home, it was Christmas Eve, takes off his worn coat, sits down, and he mutters out loud this phrase. He says, "I wouldn't treat a dog this way, let alone a faithful servant." And at that point, his wife said she knew he had lost hope, that his heart was getting hard. It was like, "God, why are you treating us this way? I wouldn't treat a dog this way, let alone a faithful servant." So the husband and wife sit in their living room silently. Nobody's talking. It's a silent night, but not a happy night. And as they sit there, suddenly they hear the sound of sleigh bells and a knock on the door. James goes to the door, he opens it, and there's one of the deacons from their little country church, and he has this big wooden crate. And the deacon says, "This just came by express, and I wanted to bring it over. I think it's for Christmas." So they bring in this wooden crate, they put it down in their front room, the deacon leaves, they open the lid of the box, and there on the top is a big, thick, red blanket. And they pull back the blanket, and there's clothes. And suddenly the pastor says this, "I can't touch these yet." So he excuses himself. He goes into the bedroom and he kneels down and he does business with God, because he had some feelings in his heart that he had been harboring. And now he has to say, "Lord, you know, you saw what I was saying." After a while, he comes out and he says to his wife, he says, "Wife, now it's time for us to give thanks." And so they pour out their hearts in thanksgiving to God. And then they start to unpackage the box. They take off the red blanket, they see the clothes, and there is a new woolen overcoat for the pastor, for James. And underneath it, there's a new dress, and there's woolen socks and scarves and mittens for his wife. Underneath that, they find some books, and there's some knots of ribbon, and there's even a $10 gold piece. And underneath that, they find this beautiful wax doll and two pairs of skates. And they sit there in the glow of Christmas, which came to them as a huge surprise. Great joy came to their house in a way they never expected. Now, the wondrous things and the surprise in that wooden crate are not as amazing as the wondrous gift that came in a wooden manger on the first Christmas for these shepherds. You see, they saw the Son of God boxed in human flesh on the first Christmas. That's what came in the box. That's what came in the wooden manger. And it came as a big surprise. So just allow your heart to think about this. Here were shepherds going through another dreary night, and suddenly the joy of Christmas came as a big surprise. That's the first thing I want you to see. But it's interesting to me that the shepherd's first reaction to this news was not of joy. Like when they first see the angel and hear the report, their initial feeling is not joy. It's what? It's fear. It's terror. Did you see that in verse 9? "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Again, the Greek word for great there is mega. So instead of mega joy, they've got mega fear going on right now. So what is it that turns them from fear to joy? It came as a big surprise, but what made it a joyful surprise? Well, that leads me to the second thing I want you to see today. First thing was that the great joy of Christmas came as a big surprise. But here's the second thing that comes out of verse 10. The great joy of Christmas came from a birth announcement, right? The great joy of Christmas. What made this thing so joyful? It was a birth announcement. That's what was at the center of the joyous news on Christmas, on that first Christmas. It was a birth announcement. The great joy of Christmas came from a birth announcement. Look at verse 10. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Birth announcement. That brought joy. A baby is born. Now, we get that. We get that. We know that when a baby is born, it is cause for great joy. I'll bet you some of you have older siblings or dear friends who in the last couple of years have had a baby. Think about the joy that you felt when you got the news that one they were expecting, but especially when the baby arrived. And think of what you felt when you first saw that baby of somebody you know and love. It's great joy, right? One of the things that I've enjoyed at Heritage in my years here, and I can think this has happened, I was thinking this week, I bet 6-7 times that I can remember, happened like this. One of our staff, one of our younger staff would announce that she's expecting a baby. Like right now, Arielle is expecting and Emily are expecting. So they would announce that and we would all celebrate. And then they would at some point go off on mat leave, and then we would usually get an email or get the news that a baby's been born, and we would celebrate, but we would especially celebrate on the day, and it's happened over and over again, when that staff woman would come back and bring the baby for the first time. I can picture multiple times walking into the upstairs of the academic building and seeing a whole cluster of staff and faculty and some students standing in a circle, and there beaming in the middle is the young mom who used to work or still works for our school, and she has in the little carrier her little boy or her little girl. And it is all smiles all around, right? Everyone is rejoicing. Everyone, because great joy comes from the birth announcement. The baby's here. But here's the thing. we usually only have great joy when it's a baby that we know or know the mom and dad. There's lots of babies being born in the world today. And we're not all filled with great joy for all of them because we don't necessarily know them. Let me ask you, did the shepherds know Mary and Joseph? No. So why would they be filled with great joy at hearing that a couple that they don't even know has had a baby who they've never met? Picture in our day a group of construction workers, and they're on the job site, bunch of big burly guys, and they're pouring concrete, and they're putting up frames, and they're running electrical wires, and suddenly someone drives up and goes, "Hey, everyone, come over here, I got something to tell you." So all the guys put down their tools, and they huddle around, they say, "Hey, listen, here's some good news. A baby was born in Cambridge today." Imagine they'd all go, "Hey, that's good. Why are you telling us this? Do we know? Like, whose baby?" Yeah, you don't know them. You don't know the mom or dad. Now, I can't imagine that those guys at that moment would say, "Well, let's all get in our trucks and go find this baby." Right? They'd probably say, "Okay, well, good on them. I got to get back to work." But these shepherds, when they hear this news, they leave their sheep and they go looking for the baby. They're so flooded with joy, they go, "We got to go see this." So why would they be so excited about a baby who they don't know, born to parents who they've never met? Well, the answer comes in verse 11. The answer is who the baby is. The reason for the mega joy is because who this baby is. Now, they're not told his name. We know his name already was going to be Jesus. The angel had told Joseph that before the baby was born and said, "You will give him the name Jesus." But the shepherds don't know that. They're not told his name, but get this, they're told his titles. Three titles, and these three titles are enough to give them great joy. I want you to look at his three titles. Each one gets better than the previous one. Three titles. Look at it in verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," there's number one, "who is Christ," there's number two, "the Lord," there is number three. Think about those three titles, one after another. They each get better. First one, "For unto you is born today a Savior, a Deliverer." Now, down through the centuries, if you read the Old Testament, you know that God had sent saviors. He had sent deliverers time and time again. Moses, Gideon, David, Nehemiah. I mean, God had sent deliverers. He had sent saviors, if you will. He had sent prophets who helped save the people, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi. But here's the problem. For the past 400 years, God had gone silent and had not sent a prophet or a savior. Like, nobody had come from God. There was no deliverer. That's 400 years. That's four centuries. I was doing the math. If you dial back 400 years from today, from 2020, you hit 1620. And you might remember a rather big event that happened in 1620. The Mayflower set out to sail to North America with the first pilgrims, right? That's 400 years ago. That's a long time ago. Imagine all the time that's transpired between the pilgrims coming and our day. Okay? Imagine. So here's the pilgrims, and here's our day. That's a long time. Imagine that span of time was the time that the people of Israel had waited for God to send help, and it had been silent. And now the angels are saying, God is sending a Savior. He's sending a deliverer. Don't you think that would be reason for joy? Well, that's the first title. He's a Savior, but it gets better. He's not just the Savior. He is the Messiah. Do you see that? He's the Christ. Look at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ." Christ is the Greek word that translates the Hebrew word for Messiah. Christ means anointed one, chosen one, right? In other words, God had sent many deliverers, but he was only going to send one Messiah, only one Christ. And now they're told he's here, like today. He's here. He's nearby. He's in the city of David. The Christ is here. Now, people in Jesus' day were looking for the Messiah. Do you remember when Andrew, Andrew and Peter, brothers, first disciples. When Andrew first met Jesus, John chapter 1 tells us this, he spent a day with Jesus, and then he goes and finds his big brother Peter. I assume Peter is the older brother. He's always listed first. And he goes up to Peter, and he says this, "Peter, we have found the Messiah." Like, that's epic. Well, these shepherds are being told, like, today, the Messiah is here, and he's born right by you, which, by the way, is what the Old Testament had prophesied, right? Micah chapter 5, 2 said Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Listen to Micah 5, 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, but from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Like Micah had, or back in those days, Micah had predicted the Messiah comes, it's going to be Bethlehem. And now these shepherds are being told he's here and he's near. So that's great joy, right? Savior, Messiah. But even the greatest thing, the third title, if you look at verse 11, he's not just Savior. He's not just Messiah. This one's a head spinner. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Now that's something. God had sent a lot of saviors. He had sent a lot of deliverers. But they're being told that this one can be called the Lord. See, Isaiah the prophet had set them up for this 700 years prior. Isaiah the prophet had said, a virgin would give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah had said, one's coming, and somehow he's going to be more than just someone. He's going to be the mighty God. And now these shepherds are being told, guess what? He's here. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. No wonder they say, we got to go find this one. No wonder they start rushing off and looking for him. In fact, in verse 12, the angel says, here's how you'll find him. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths lying in a feeding trough. Here's a little clue. You go look for this kind of a baby. So they buzz off and they go find him. But here's a little tension point. Why would the shepherds feel that they are welcome to go see a baby as important as the one that had just been born? I mean, why would the shepherds feel they would be welcomed in? I mean, if you know a little bit about the culture of their day, shepherds were a bit on the bottom rung of things. They were not seen as kind of the elite of society. They were kind of dodgy, a little bit sketchy. So what would make these guys think that they could waltz in and see the baby who is the Savior, Messiah, Lord? Why would they think they would be welcome? Well, that brings me to the third thing I want you to see on the reason for great joy. Because did you notice verse 11, the angel says to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day." The previous verse, it said, "This will be great joy for all the people." But then the angel says, "Unto you, shepherds, I'm talking to you. Unto you is born this day." So why is the great joy of Christmas one for them? Why is it for us? Well, the great joy of Christmas, it did come as a big surprise. That's true. And it did come in the birth of the announcement of a baby. But here's the third thing. The great joy of Christmas is for you and everyone else. That's kind of why it's such a joyful time. This great joy of Christmas is for you and for everyone else. That's what the angels are saying. It's for you. It's not just for those who you think should get it. It's for you. If you kind of see yourself today having some things going against you, here's what you have going for you. The angel said, it's for you. Like, you're a shepherd. You're kind of not one of the elite of the world. That's okay. It's for you. The great joy of Christmas is for you and for everyone else. So it leaves me with one last question. How do you get in on this joy? Like, how do you go from meager joy to mega joy? This is the news. The great joy of Christmas came as a big surprise. It came from a birth announcement, and it came for you and for everyone else. But how do you make it your own? Well, let me wrap it up by saying, here's how you make the joy your own. You do what the shepherds do. Our passage ends about verse 15, 16, all the way down to verse 20, telling us three things the shepherds did. And if you'll do the same three things that the shepherds did, I think you'll get in on the same joy the shepherds had. Let me just quickly show them to you. How do you find the mega joy at Christmas? Shepherds did three things. Here's the first thing they did you can do. I'd put it this way. Hurry to Christ. Hurry to Jesus. Look at verse 15. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. They hurried, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. You want the joy of the Lord to be yours at Christmas? Make a beeline to Christ. Hurry to Christ. You say, "Well, I can't do that. He's not physically in Bethlehem like he was for them." No, no, I get that. But you hurry to him in your heart. You say, "Jesus, I'm coming to you. With all that I am, with all that I know, with all that's within me, I am coming to you because I know that you are the reason for the joy. And I'm making my heart's beeline to you." Hurry to Jesus. This Christmas, there are many, many things that are going to make you feel hurried. There are assignments. There are tests. There are Christmas shopping deadlines. There's all these things that can get you hurried. Be like the shepherds and put your best hurry in getting close to Christ. Hurry to be by him. Hurry to slow down enough to listen and to be still in his presence. If you'll do that, you'll find the joy coming back. So hurry to Christ. Here's the second thing. The shepherds did it. You and I can do it. It comes out of verse 17. You spread the news. So you hurry to Christ. Secondly, you spread the news. Look at verse 17. "And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them." The shepherds went and saw, then the shepherds went and told. They told the news. They told the news. If you want to get in on the joy of Christmas, tell somebody why Christmas brings joy. Tell them. Tell them the story, why Christmas is so meaningful to you. And what you'll find is that the joy bubbles up in your heart as you tell it to someone else. And by the way, we know more about Jesus than the shepherds did, right? They just knew it was a baby who was Christ the Lord. You and I know what he did when he grew up. We know that he spent his life doing good, that he healed the hurting, that he fed the hungry, that he loved the outcasts and the marginalized, that he spoke the truth, and that he carried our sins, all of your sins, all of my sins, all of the sins of the world. He carried them in his own body to the cross, and he died the death you and I should have died so that we could be given the life that only he has. He did all of that, and he rose from the grave 3 days later. You know that story. I know that story. You want the joy of Christmas? Tell somebody that story. You will find that in telling it to others, it rekindles the joy in your own soul. So hurry to Christ, spread the news. Here's the last thing. Comes out of verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them." Here's the third thing. Glorify and praise God for Christmas. Glorify and praise God. That's what they did. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. C.S. Lewis says something about praise that I think is quite insightful. Lewis says this: "Praise not only expresses our joy, it completes it." Like somehow when you turn your adoration, your affection for Jesus into praise, it not only expresses your heart, it completes your joy. And what I would say to you, you want the joy of Christmas? Then spend some time in God's presence pouring out your praise to him. I get it. I get the fact that you could be weary and worn down by COVID and tired with stressed out with papers. But if you pull aside and you take some time and just say, "Lord, I want to bring my heart to you in praise for who Jesus is, for what Jesus does," I think you're going to find, like the shepherds did, there's this joy that bubbles up in your soul. Hurry to Christ, spread the news, glorify and praise God. You know, last Thursday night, the highlight of Linda and my day last Thursday happened Thursday evening when we heard a knock on our door. And I thought it was the Amazon guy dropping off a box, but it wasn't. So I went to the door, I opened the door, and there standing out was, I don't know, 6 or 8 Heritage students, socially distanced, wearing masks, standing out in our driveway, and they break into a Christmas carol. And I knew that you all were going out to carol that night, but I had kind of lost track of the evening. I'd prayed for you earlier. And then suddenly, here's a whole group of you standing out there singing. And we just stood at the door, Linda and I, and we just sang along. And then I saw you go to our neighbors and sing at their houses. And my heart just was thrilled. I thought, they're hearing the news, and they're telling the news. See, Christmas is meant to be a time of great joy. Great joy. And it all centers in Jesus. Hurry to Christ. Spread the news. Glorify and praise God. And find this Christmas to be a time of mega joy. I thought we would close today by being a group of carolers, because you all did that so well last Thursday night. And I'm going to invite you, would you stand with me? And even without instruments, because you didn't have any instruments last Thursday when you're out in the community, can we sing the first verse of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come"? Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Let's sing that together as our praise to God and our declaration of the joy of Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature. And Lord, we do. We stand, we lift our voices, we lift our hearts, and we say to you, thank you for bringing joy to the world, joy to our lives this Christmas. Thank you that the message first trumpeted 2,000 years ago is one we still revel in and rejoice in and glorify you for today. And I pray that in these weary days, in these COVID times, we would find the joy of Jesus bubbling up in our hearts because you sent him to be our Savior. We're so thankful for that. And we give you joy. We give you blessing. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.